picking up the blessings of the good Lord. I've been living in the rain. Don't need to find shelter. Don't want the weather to change. So my days are better now, 'cause I've been living in the rain.
This morning, right? Amen. A little pick-me-up. Everybody drags themselves out of bed on a cold day. Comes on into church, you know. Amen. You know, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. It's one of my favorite, not just one, but is probably the favorite place for me to be. Amen. I love coming together with my church family, and I just look forward to it every time. I don't care what day of the week it is. If we're getting together, I look forward to it. And I love fellowship. I love music. You know, it's always been a part of my life. I'm not great at it, but I love it. You know, I love the motivation, how it makes you feel, it lifts you up spiritually, you know. And so I feel it's important. God gave us so many abilities. He really gave us so much. Everybody has a gift, really. And, you know, not everybody's gift's the same. And that's not what I'm talking about this morning, but we use those gifts in the church to lift each other up, to encourage each other. And I think it's so important to use your gift. Use your gift for what God gave it to you for. And some people, you know, gifts could be just as much as being an encourager. Just being able to talk to somebody, give them a good word. And it's so important. So important. But, you know, I want to talk to you this morning about bringing down strongholds in your life. And it's so important that, you know, sometimes in life we get cluttered. We get cluttered with things and we get bound by things, and it creates strongholds in our life that keeps us and holds us back from living the life that God wants us to live. Amen? And we all can develop those. You know, I'm not immune from being tempted. I'm not immune from having strongholds build up in my life. And I have to pray, and we have to let those things go. We have to work at those things every day. And so I want to talk to you this morning about that. You know, Jesus desires us to climb a little bit higher with him every day. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, when Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside, and those who were apprenticed him, or his disciples, and when they saw the committed ones, they climbed a little higher with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his companions, or his disciples. Now that's in the, I like the way it said that in the Messenger Bible. I read different translations, and sometimes I use several of them in my sermons. But Jesus wants us to climb a little higher with him. That's what he desires. He always wants us to go just a little bit farther in our life. And sometimes it pulls us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we get comfortable just coming and coming to church even. Sometimes we get comfortable with just coming and participating in the service and then going home. You know, but sometimes he's always asking us. He's always right there saying, hey, would you just go a little bit? Will you just climb a little bit higher with me? And so, you know, I want to ask you this morning to climb with Jesus, to climb a little higher with Jesus this morning. You know, I want to talk to you about the spiritual warfare that we have. And I'm telling you right now, more so than ever, the church is fighting a spiritual battle and a warfare that, you know, it's in the Bible. There is scripture that's in the Bible that tells us these things will happen. These things will come. And don't be surprised when they come. But no, when you see these things happening, know that the time is not yet. But be aware. Be alert. Don't be asleep. You know, there's all these scriptures that go, don't be asleep. Be alert. Pay attention to what's going on. I say those things because we all fight this battle, this spiritual battle. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against spiritual things. That's where our battle takes place. You know, there's so many people content to live short of what God intends for them. And people who are not willing to exert the energy needed to get where they need to be in their Christian life. You know, we're doing godly things in our own strength sometimes instead of doing it with the will of God and the power of God. I talked a little bit about that Wednesday night. You know, we have the power of God within us, and he gives us the strength. He gives us the knowledge. He gives us the ability to do those things. And just like the church of the Laodiceans, and I talked about in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, they had shut the door to the church. And Jesus said, I stand outside the door and knock. I'm knocking on the door. I'm beating on the door saying, if you'll just open the door and let me in. If you'll just open the door and let me in, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. You know, and that's what he's saying to the church. He said, you guys have shut the door. And we can do that as individuals. There's times in our life where we can close the door. We can just shut the door to Jesus. And he's standing right outside the door, and he's knocking. He's saying, open the door and let me help you. Open the door and let me take care of those problems that you got, those burdens that you're carrying. Let me take care of those things. Let me knock down those strongholds in your life, those addictions maybe that you're dealing with, those depressions and all those anxieties. Just open the door and let me deal with it. I'm right here. So many times there are strongholds in our life that the Lord wants to break up and tear down, but we have to first let it go and open the door. We first have to acknowledge that we have a problem with that stronghold and desire to be taken away. Sometimes that's our hardest issue, isn't it? That's the hardest thing. That's the biggest obstacle that we have, is admitting we have a problem. Because many of us, we don't want to admit that we have a problem. But let me tell you, as long as we're here on this earth, and as long as we have an adversary, we have problems. because he's always throwing darts. He's always throwing insults. He's always throwing temptations. He's always there. He's always saying you ain't good enough. He's always saying that you know, always. It never stops. But it's what he wants from us is for us to say, I need you, Jesus, because I cannot deal with this myself. And I open up the door and you can take care of it, please. That's all he's asking. He wants us to say, Lord, do whatever is needed. Sometimes that can be tough. Do whatever's needed. That may be a tough thing. That means sometimes giving up something that we really like. That ain't easy sometimes. Because there's things out there that can get a hold of people, that can get a hold of you that's really hard to let go of. There's all kinds of things. This world today is full of anything and everything. Everything. I could say that. Everything. You know, the church in Corinth was at a place with all kinds of things. We read through the 1 Corinthians, and you read what Paul was addressing them with, all kinds of things that they were dealing with. Immorality, drunkardness. I mean, you could just read all these things that they were dealing with. And I mean, as a pastor, there was even some, because Paul writes this in the latter part of 1 Corinthians. He's like, he talks about Apollos. And really, it's like Apollos didn't even want to go and deal with these issues. He's like, I'm going to send him, but it's like he didn't even want to go. He feared to go. Because he didn't want to deal with the church. He didn't want to deal with the problems that they had. And Paul was writing this letter, and he said, I'm not going to come to you now, but he said, later on when I come back, because I want to spend some time with you so we can deal with these things that you're going through. And he lays it out. The Apostle Paul comes to the church at Corinth with the authority of being an apostle of the Lord, but also wanting to have the meekness and gentleness of Jesus. And when we look at this definition of meekness, it's to be humble. We have to be humble. We have to humble ourselves like Jesus. And gentleness is not weakness, but it's actually boldness is the way it's translated. The boldness of Jesus. We have to humble ourselves like Jesus did, but we also have to come bold like he did. And to bring the truth of God to the hearts. Bring compassion to the hearts. In 2 Corinthians 10, 1 and 6, it says, as I come to you, as Paul, I want you to sense Jesus. But the same Jesus that brings truth is coming to speak to your spiritual condition. See, because it wasn't necessarily the physical condition that he was concerned about as much so as his spiritual condition, because when you fix the spiritual condition, it will fix the physical condition. Because the things that you're doing against God is a spiritual issue, usually. When you fix the spiritual problem, you'll stop doing the things that God doesn't want you to do. So it's always a spiritual condition. If you think those days were any different than today, do you think that? No. God is still trying to use men and women of God to bring down strongholds that defeat most believers. That's why he appoints people in the church, and we need good leaders in the church. We need good, strong disciples in the church to be good examples for those around us, to be good examples to those who are dealing with things. That's why I look forward to coming together here as a congregation, because my friends and my family, they build me up. They lift me up. Amen? We do that for each other. Why? So we can defeat strongholds that may be trying to grow in our lives. We're here to encourage, not to tear down. We're not here to break people apart. We're here to build them up. to grow spiritually stronger and stronger and stronger as a church and as individuals. And that's what it means to me when we come together as a body of Christ. Though we live in this world, the scripture says, we do not wage war as the world does. What does that mean? It means there's two kingdoms, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And ever since the fall of Satan from God's kingdom, he has set out to destroy people of God. From the fall of man in the garden, and ever since you became a believer, you are no longer of one kingdom, and you belong to the other. Satan, with his hatred for God's, with his hatred for God, hates you. And that's hard to understand sometimes, but Satan does not like you. Why? Because you believe in God. Jesus said they'll hate you when you're here on this earth. If you believe in me, the world will hate you because they hated me. They hated me so much they killed me, and for no reason. They really didn't have a just reason to crucify Jesus, but they did it because they hated him. That's how much Satan hates you. That's how much he wants to destroy you. If we remember that. You can say you don't believe that, but it's true. Scripture's full of that. It's backed up in Scripture. Jesus is in his priestly prayer in John 17. He's talking to God the Father. He says this. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, but even as I am not of it, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you have sent me into this world, I have sent them into the world. We have to live in this world, but we as believers are no longer part of this world. Amen? You believe that today? We are to be different. I definitely got that part down. I'm pretty different sometimes. Backwards or whatever you want to call it, but we are to bring under captivity our thoughts and our actions to match those of Jesus Christ. And that's what it means. We're different from the world. Why? Because we follow Jesus. We don't follow the world. Our thoughts are different than the world. Our actions are different than the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's hard sometimes because there's so much in the world. I mean, we have to exist in this world, but yet we can be caught up in this world. And he said, we can't do that. It's like we have the world on one side and God on the other side, and we're in between. And we're being pulled apart all the time. You know, we're getting dragged this way and drugged this way, and we want to be for God, but yet the world's always dragging us, and we're right here in the middle. It feels like sometimes we're going to get tore apart. And Jesus is saying, just like he told the Laodicean church, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm, not in the middle, not dealing with that, because it makes me sick. I just want to spew you out of my mouth. That's no place to be. He said, put me in the middle. That's where Christ wants to be. We put ourselves in the middle, but Christ says, put me in the middle and you stand on my side, and I'll stand between you and Satan. I'll stand between you and the world. That's where I need to be. So put me in the center. And everything else will revolve around. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you. He's always protecting us when we put him in the center. He protects the church when we put Christ in the center of the church. And we open up the doors and we let Christ in the church. They don't want to lock him out because of things, strongholds and different ideas. That's what it means to be different. Anything that doesn't match up with the Lord. We have Satan trying to trip us up, and we have our own selfish desires that flares up and makes us lose our focus on Christ. We have our way of thinking, and we have Christ's way of thinking. Christ says, think like me, and you'll be okay. We read our scripture, that's what he's saying. Think like me. I know it's, we live in a distracted world, and I think my phone's laying down there, but usually there's not one of us anymore that doesn't carry our phone around. You know, 5 minutes, we can't go 5 minutes without looking to see if somebody liked something we posted or make sure we didn't miss something that somebody else posted. It's distractions. And those are, you think those are not purposely put in place? I believe that with technology's not evil necessarily. It's good. We are able to have Zoom and we're able to do some amazing things that we never could before. Reach people that we couldn't before in all kinds of places. But let me tell you, it can be so distracting that we focus on one thing all the time that it gets our mind off of what we were really supposed to be doing, and that's being the church and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to get you off your game. He's trying to get you looking somewhere else when you need to be focused on what you're supposed to be doing. He's good at it. He's real good at it. So quickly he can do it. We have to learn to define and identify the strongholds in our life and allow the Lord to pull them down and get rid of them. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes time. And that's okay. That's growing. You know, we don't always start out as mature. We start out as babies. I mean, it's natural. We start out as babies. Paul even says, you know, I don't want to speak to you now as infants in Christ. That's what he told one church. Like you once were. I'm not going to feed you milk anymore. You need meat. You need to hear the truth now. Let's get to it. You once were little babies, and we treated you like little babies. And let's see, we're all on a different level at times. We have to grow, and we have to learn, and we have to understand. But then there's a time where we said, hey, it's time to get off the milk. It's time to get into the meat. We can't live on milk all of our life. So if I asked you today what a stronghold is, a stronghold is something that has a stronghold on your life. Something that's destructive. Something that holds you and keeps you from doing what the Lord would want you to do. Man, I could tell you so many times where I've said, well, I don't have time for that. I can't go and do that because I don't have time. I've got to do something else. I put so many things in my life ahead. And I'm not talking about when I wasn't saved. I'm talking about when I was saved. I'm being honest. Because there's been times in my life when I've put myself and my things and my life ahead of what God wanted me to do. And I finally had to come to a point and said, I can't do that any longer, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I still fight those battles. But I've learned to identify those strongholds that start to creep into my life and it starts to pull my time away from where my focus needs to be. Identify those and I get rid of them. I say, okay, I can't do that anymore. And sometimes it's simple things. Simple things. Sometimes it could be sports. man, today is supposed to be a big day in sports, right? Supposed to be. I don't know, there's some kind of big game today. I don't remember what it is. But see, sometimes that's just one thing. Sometimes it could be, you know, I mean, there's times, I used to love to go shoot guns. I love it. You know, I used to, you know, take my rifle out, and man, just to get the perfect shot group, man, that was just my goal. Hours I could spend, round after round, trying to get that perfect shot group. Taking hours away from my day. I'd spend hours in my shop trying to develop the perfect load for that perfect shot. For what reason? That's my own selfish desires, right? There's nothing really wrong with it, but when it takes my time away from two things, one, my God, my Savior, and second of all, my family, it can do it very easily. And I can get caught up in all that, but there's many things. At one time, it was fishing or hunting. I get so caught up in it, boy, I just got to go. Every second, every hour, every minute that I get a chance, I'm going. I'm just laying it out here this morning. It could be so many things is what I'm saying, and not necessarily bad things, but they can become strongholds in your life that hold you back from what God wants you to do. Taking time to make a phone call. I'm guilty of that. I admit that. There's times where I get caught up in doing other things, and maybe I've talked to 10 different people, but I miss something. And then I'm like, oh man, I've got to do this. Those are important things. Man, I'm only on my third page, and when we talk about spiritual warfare, most people turn out or tune out. Most people are like, nah, I don't want to hear about that stuff. They don't want to think about someone that would hold them down or destroy their life or destroy their spiritual integrity, I guess. It's much easier to think about how much God loves us and how much He wants to take care of us, and about how much God loves us, than to ever think about how much Satan wants to destroy us. That's why we don't hear much talk about hell today. Because people don't want to talk about hell, because that's not a subject people want to talk about. We want to talk about the love of God and the grace of God and the blessings of God and all those things. But when we start talking about hell, people's like, whoa, now. Don't talk about that. It's in the Bible. Jesus talked about hell more than He talked about heaven. Why? Because He says, if you don't break these strongholds down in your life, if you don't tear these things, get them out of your life and be careful of those things, there's only two options I have here for you as a just judge. He's going to judge us one of these days, and He says, I've only got two options here. I've only got two. And I'm going to judge righteously because I'm a righteous person. I'm a righteous judge. Scripture tells us that. So He says, you know, I'm going to look at you and see what you did in your life, and I'm going to know the good things, and I'm going to know all the bad things, and I'm going to look at them, and I'm going to say, okay, it's either one or the other. There's no in between. There's no lukewarmness. It's either hot or cold. And if you've shut the door to me, there's nothing I can do but A, or if you've opened the door, it's B. There's no other options. Well, as your pastor, as your friend, as I have to tell you, there's only two options, and it's your choice to make whichever option choice that you want. You either be in this line or you're going to be in this line, and I can't help that because that's just the way it is. That's just it. It don't matter what church you go to. It don't matter whether you're young, old, whatever. It's just two options. You cannot survive in a divided kingdom, Scripture says. A house divided does not stand. Abraham Lincoln even said that, I think. A country divided cannot stand. So true. There is no controversy to me to who is in charge. I was going to read, but I want to go on to something else here. You know, it's by the power of Jesus that He gives us the authority to chase away Satan. Amen. Satan's no match for Jesus. Jesus took away Satan's armor to defend Himself. And He gave us the armor of God. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But he has no power." Amen. He has no power. Why? Because Satan is a liar. He'll try to tell you he's a liar, and he's the father of lies, and he'll try to imitate God, and he'll try to get you to think that you're doing things that are okay to do, but really you're building up strongholds in your life that takes your focus off what God wants you to do. You know, I thought of this. If, you know, living this life, it's kind of like trying to make a chocolate cake, but you're trying to make a chocolate cake out of pancake mix. Follow me here now. Stay with me. No matter how much you try to make a chocolate cake, you cannot, because you're trying to use pancake mix. You can have the right intent, but the content has to be right. Does that make sense? What am I trying to say? It's through the power of Jesus Christ that you can break down those strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:3 talks about that. We are fighting a spiritual battle, and we cannot do it without the Lord. And we're needing weapons that are not carnal but mighty in the Lord. We can bring down those strongholds in our life. You know, it's basically what the Scripture talks about is this. It says the world is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog world, isn't it? The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will, right? The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, that can enter in. Tearing down barriers erected up against God's vision for us in our life. Taking care of those, clearing up those matters, setting our feet up on solid ground, moving away those obstructions so that we can live our lives obedient to Him and grow and mature. You know, we bring every thought, every image, every action that goes against God's Word, and we bring it under the captivity of Christ. That's what we have to do. We have to bring it to His feet and lay it down and give it up and trust Him to take care of it. Because Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so it is. I'm telling you, we deal with some crazy philosophies out there today. Man, there's some crazy ways of thinking today. I'm just about done here. Sometimes it's led to false expectations. Luke 11:21 says, Jesus' words, not mine, he says this. He says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. When someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. You know, I'm asking you this morning, do you want strongholds out of your life? Do you want them gone? Do you want to defeat those things that are holding you back, keeping you down, keeping you depressed? You can do that, but it comes by opening up the door, letting Jesus in, and saying, hey, take care of these for me, please. I can't do it myself. I need you, Father. I need you, Jesus, in my life. It's all about taking those thoughts and those actions and those images and just placing them at Christ's feet. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the beginning and the end. He was there from the beginning and He's there at the end. And guess what? We win in the end. Because no matter what goes on in this world today, and I'm telling you, I hear so much people worried about what's going on today. And yes, our world is changing. The America that we lived in is not the same America that I grew up in. And guess what? It will not be in the future either. Because God has a plan and a purpose, and His purpose is to bring His kingdom. And for Him to bring His kingdom, we read in the Scripture what it means. And guess what? His kingdom's coming. Amen? His kingdom's coming. His righteousness is coming in one of these days. He's going to call the church, and we're going to be caught up with Him forever. And His kingdom will be established forever and ever and ever. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? He wants us to live a life here, not bound by strongholds in our life. He wants us to live spiritually motivated, spiritually okay with not worrying about what happens tomorrow or when we leave here today, because we know that He's in control and He's got it. Paul talked about it all the time. I don't fear death. We sing the songs, no fear in death. What's he meaning? Because we know that death's not the end. The death of this body here that I carry, that I'm not so happy with sometimes, is not the end. Because one of these days I'm going to get a glorified body. Amen. What is perishable will become imperishable. is what the Scripture says. And I'll be made new, and I'll be like Him, our Savior. That's what it's all about. I want you guys to understand that and believe that. So today, this morning as a close, I know I kept you a little bit longer, preached a little bit longer, but I just felt like God leading me to preach this today. If you're dealing with strongholds in your life that you're struggling with, just let them go today. You can come forward if you want, but you can do it right where you're sitting. You can say, "Lord, I open up the door and I let you in. I want to eat with you. I want to sup with you. I want to take all that you have for me in. Tear down those strongholds. Take them away. Remove them from my life so that I can live my life like you want me to live." And when we do that, it makes it so much easier. Because what we get rid of in the spiritual side affects what happens physically to us. Because then we become noticeable in the community. People's like, "Guy's not the same person I used to know." Why? Because we tore down those strongholds in our life and we accepted what Christ wants for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I just pray that if there be anything in me, Lord, that may hinder me or hold me back, Lord, I pray right now that you take it away, remove it. Lord, I want to remain in you, Lord, as you remain in me. Your word says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. So, Lord, today we abide in you. We open up the door with, Lord, we don't close the door of the church and we don't close the door of our hearts because we are the temple. So, Lord, we just ask you to come in. Don't knock anymore. Just come in. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.